All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, December 30th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had a three-game college football slate already get underway. Good luck to all of you playing that slate, as well as the six-game EPL soccer slate already started too for the rest of the evening. We have a five-game NHL slate and then a four-game NBA slate. So ton of DFS action coming at you today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You'll also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim up on the screen. And here we go. Reminder, we are only having office hours Monday through Wednesday of this week due to the holiday, and then we will be back next week. So tomorrow will be our last show of the week. All right, as far as questions go, I'm going to jump right in. Had a few questions come in before the show, so we will start there and then see where we go. So first question, looking at flashback for NFL Showdown last night and in the Minimax, a lineup was duped 1,631 times and has a sim ROI of 47.9%. Is this correct? It cashes for $19 even if it finishes first. I know why duped lineups can sim well, but I find it very hard to believe this lineup wins long term or has a real world cash rate anywhere near 49%. Okay. So I think you're onto something here with like the 49%, right? So we talked about this in like kind of a similar segment. I actually want to see if I can find it real quick. I know where it is. In office hours. Okay, this question came up on 12:23 office hours. All right, so why don't we go look at this real quick? So we're going to talk about the lineup from last night, but I do want to talk about this other segment because it was a good segment in my opinion. Biased, obviously. All right, so I'm heading over to YouTube real quick to pull this up. One sec while I get there. All right. I'm going to get my screen back up right now. All right. So I'm over on our YouTube. So if we go to office hours, I'm looking for 12:23, which is going to be this one. Okay. I'm looking for a specific segment. So in case you guys didn't know, you can go to the past office hours on YouTube, and then all the questions are timestamped. Late swap. I think it is maybe this one. No, this is kind of, this is a different segment. This was a good question too. Gosh. Okay. Okay, it's this one. So there was a question, why do the Sims use lineups with 10, 20 plus or 30 plus dupes, right? This is like what we're talking about. Kind of similar question here. So I do want to like share this link because this is like another kind of good similar conversation on this topic. And then I think I'm going to use the flashback from that one But I'm going to grab this link and I'm going to drop it to this user. Recent office hours on this topic to go along with today. All right. So I just shared the link to this question. This one's like really good. I'm actually going to share it in the YouTube chat as well. If anybody wants to see that one, wants a quick access to that so you don't have to go search for it. So in this segment, right, what we did is we pulled up a lineup from Flashback. And it was this lineup. So this lineup was duped 650 times, okay? This was when the Niners played the Colts. It was Kittle, Captain, McCaffrey, Taylor, Purdy, Abdullah, Juszczyk. This is the lineup that was run here. So the lineup had a negative 12% sim ROI, but it had a 0.23% win rate, a 38% cash, right? I basically want to make the point that any lineup, regardless of the dupes, can be positive ROI if it wins enough and cashes enough, right? As long as the lineup makes more money than it costs to play, it can be positive sim ROI, right? So everything is going to be driven like by what you were talking about of like the cash rate and the win rate. Now, the 49% cash rate that you're referring to in this example, right? Always remember, I dropped my pen and I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Always remember that the rates here come, well, two things you want to remember. Number one is that we run the sim 100,000 times, right? So the sample is very strong here. We used to run contest sims less. I think it's kind of weird having like my head over my head. So I'm just going to like get out of here. We used to run the contest sims less times. I think we started with like 20,000 times. And then I think we went up to like 50,000. And then now we do 100,000, right? We've kind of built out the capabilities to like run the sims more and more and more over time. The reason we did that was because we realized that those samples weren't big enough. 20,000 wasn't big enough. 50,000 wasn't big enough. And when I say not big enough, basically the results fluctuated enough between multiple runs that we felt we needed to go bigger to have a good enough sample size, right? So that's part one. Part two is the results are solely based on the SaberSim projections, right? So when you see, you know, certain sim ROIs for certain users, or as an example, right? Say you know this user is using a different set of projections, right? That's just what they do. Well, that user's sim ROIs are probably going to be a little bit lower than somebody who's solely using SaberSim, because we're basically using SaberSim's projections to analyze these contests, right? So I don't think that it's like massive, the difference there, unless your projections are like way, way, way different. But there is some fluctuation in sim ROI, right? I don't think you can be like, oh yeah, I'm negative 20% sim ROI, but it's okay, I used custom projections. Like, well, either your lineups are still bad or your projections are bad, because that is probably still too far off from where you need to be in order to kind of feel comfortable, right? Like I would say that if like the top sim ROIs are 80% and you're using custom projections and you're coming in like 40 to 50%, I think that's okay. You know, I would probably feel comfortable with that. Like, hey, if I was using SaberSim, I'd probably be a little bit higher, which would put me toward the top. Here at this range, I know I'm not going to look as great, but SaberSim still likes my lineups and I like my projections more than I like SaberSim's projections, right? That's probably where you want to be, like if you're using custom projections. So all in all, I don't think anything's particularly wrong here. I think that it is quite the kind of departure from what I think most people think positive sim ROI lineups look like when you see something like this. So like, you know, people in the industry, I myself talk about, hey, you know, you kind of want to be lower duped, win more of the prize pool, right? So it's like, okay, if lower dupes is good, well, then that should mean that like higher dupes are bad. And then you see high dupes, but then you see positive sim ROI, and it kind of goes against like this logic that we've come to kind of think on. But then you have to go like a step further here. It's like, okay, yes, you know, being low duped is good because when you win more of the prize pool, but your win rates are probably a lot lower and your cash rates are probably a lot lower. You could play the complete opposite where you play super high or like on the spectrum of win rate, you play higher win rates, higher cash rate lineups. You're not going to win as much when you win, but you're going to win more often. And, you know, you're obviously going to cash in with these lineups at a much higher rate. So the only bad thing here, right, that I think of is, okay, say you're cashing 49% of the time. Well, min cash usually is not 2x, right? Min cash is usually less than that. It's 1.5x or something like that. So you can't even min cash your way there. You still need to win some amount of the time, right? So I think that this lineup probably just won enough and cash enough to outplay these dupes. That's not always the case, right? We saw this lineup in my example from the other day where I had 650 dupes, was slightly negative sim ROI, negative 12. It's not that negative. But you know, if this lineup was 500 dupes, it could have been positive. In your example, right, your lineup has more dupes, but the cash rate is 10% higher. I'm assuming the win rate is probably higher as well. So it's all, it all comes down to balancing win rate, cash rate with dupes and outpacing the dupes, right? So at 5 dupes, you can have a lower win rate, but it still needs to outperform, you know, the amount of times that it doesn't cash. So good question. Definitely a fun discussion here. And very good question to get us started. All right. Next question. I'm on Ultimate. I've been using one group for each contest, NFL and NBA. I usually have the avoid duplicates box unchecked, but listen to Office Hours yesterday where you talked a bit about it, that you recommend it checked. Wondering if you can elaborate on when to check/uncheck particular situations or scenarios, etc. My initial thought is to have checked for showdown slates and maybe unchecked for classic, but curious what the best approach is. Okay, yeah, for sure. So what we're talking about is in the lineup section, we're talking about this avoid duplicates across lineup groups. All right, so this is on by default. Our general recommendation is that one lineup per entry is generally a good thing. It will give you more shots on goal, and it will help to smooth out your variance over time, because instead of playing 20 lineups across 520 maxes, you're intentionally playing 100 lineups across 100 entries in your 20 maxes, right? So that's just like a simple math example there. So we recommend it on. All right. Now, if you want to consider turning it off, I had some recommendations about those yesterday that I want to clarify. So let's say you have 220 maxes, right? Okay. If you are on starter, I would recommend keeping it on. I would turn it on. I would always have it on for starter users. The reason for that is if on starter, you're primarily going to use Saber Score. Even your portfolio method is going to use Saber Score. What you want to do, the reason you want it on, let me say, is because it's using the same metric in all of your groups, right? There is only one Saber Score. So group one uses Saber Score. Group two uses Saber Score. Even if you're using portfolio, right? So Saber Score is always being used. So we want to turn this off. All right, we want to keep it on. Sorry. We want to keep avoid duplicates on when you use Saber Score, which is starter. When you use Ultimate, your contests are going to use the ROI of whatever contest is assigned to this group. Every ROI is a different sorting metric. One lineup will have two ROIs in this example, 220 maxes, two different ROIs. Those ROIs can be particularly different based on the number of entrants, based on the payout structure of the contest, based on the strength of the field, right? We could have different field lineups. It could be a low stakes 20 max versus a flagship 20 max, right? So due to the dynamics of each contest being different, your ROIs are technically all different sorting metrics. So even though this one might say ROI and then the next one might say ROI, well, they're different. So in that case, I am okay with the idea of leaving this off. I think it is okay to do that. Now, we still recommend it on. That's just like general across the board. Hey, we think this is the right thing. But I think that when you are using different sorting metrics in different groups, I think that is the one time it is okay to turn this off because you're not forcing overlap, right? You're not forcing overlap in the contest. If it happens, it happens, you know, and that's kind of okay. I guess you could also do this on starter if you were using different sorting metrics. I don't really see why you would be, but I'm sure you could, right? As an example, you could be using projected score in one and then saber score in another. Okay, well, now these are different sorting metrics. So then now I could be okay to turn this off. But I think that's like the key point. If you're using the same sorting metric, then keep it on. If you're using different ones and I'm counting different contest ROIs as different, then it is okay to have off. So that is my clarification on that topic. But good follow-up. All right. Next question for the starter plan. For NBA, if you build your lineups with three uniques, then go to late swap. Should you be late swapping at three uniques as well, or just leave it on portfolio? Okay, good question. So I am a big proponent for whatever you start with is whatever you should finish with. So another example of this would be like if you built your lineups in optimizer mode, pre-slate, should you switch to sim mode? Well, no, I don't think you should because half of your lineup that locked was optimized in sim mode, right? So you don't want to switch it at this point because now you're taking this lineup that's been optimized for sim mode and you're deviating. And I don't think that really helps, right? I think that you've like half baked this lineup and then you switched it. And then you tried to do something else on the other end. And I think you're just going to get like one half of optimizer mode and one half of sim mode is worse than all of optimizer mode or all of sim mode, right? I think this is like the same thing where it's like, hey, when you start with three uniques, you know, you should just stick with it and go with this three unique approach all the way through, right? Don't start one way and then switch. So I would continue to do three uniques in this example. All right. Good stuff. Next question. Last night for the NHL main slate, I added three players to a lineup card and prompted Saber to build me swaps/lineups with those three players. However, the builder never actually built me the lineups with those three players and built out lineups as normal. Did I use this feature incorrectly? All right, good question. So what we are talking about are the like lineup stubs, which I will show right now. All right, so we're going to go back to today. So You're only going to see this, like right now, I don't have any groups created, right? If I click lock on a player, I'm going to get like the lineup stub, right? This is going to show basically a lineup card that I can kind of fill out. It's like if you had like your phone and you're like on DraftKings and you're like filling it out by hand, you kind of see like the lineup like this, right? With blanks and then you fill them in, okay? Now, a couple of things with this, just like kind of walking through it. Number one, locking. Well, I think it's actually going to change, but just so you guys know, When you click the lock icon, it opens this up, right? That's how it is right now on production. I think this is going to change with a update that went to beta earlier. But either way, I'm just going to explain how it works as of right now. If I set a minimum exposure to 100%, it does not open the stub, right? So if you're trying to lock players and you don't like that, hey, just set a minimum exposure instead and you won't get that. Otherwise, right, if I do this, I do the stub, okay, puts Luka in, and then, you know, maybe I want to build a lineup around like Luka, Kawhi, and some value play. All right, I'm just going to take the top one, Sensabaugh, right? Okay, so these are the three players that I want to kind of build my lineup around, all right? So what I would do first is I would set my players, and then I would click save. Now, this just kind of locks them in here and then gets you back to the table, right? Because when I'm actually in here, I have like the plus icons, right? So if you're like, hey, I just kind of want to set my core first, maybe I want to do some other things with like filters and rules and stuff. You know, you can basically just save this at any time and then it'll kind of just hold it in place, right? So just kind of holding it here, I can go and look and analyze other things. And then whenever I want to use this again, I'm ready now, right? Now, if I want to remove a player, if I want to think about it, okay, I can just use the trash icon to get rid of them, whatever. But let's say these are the ones I want to go with. All right, great. So now that I've set these, I should just be able, and I'm just going to build a small number of lineups. I'm going to build, say, 100. Should be able to build a small number of lineups. I'm just going to do 100, and I'm going to click build from inside this card. Okay, I think that's another important part. Click build from inside the lineup card. All right, so we're just doing 100 lineups. Okay, so what I'm expecting is to have 100% of those three players. Those three players are effectively like my core. And so now I'm just going to look at pool exposure. Okay, cool. So right now my pool exposure is 100% Sensabaugh, 100% Kawhi, 100% Luka. This is what I expected to see. So that's just like a brief walkthrough of kind of how to use that and then how like the different icons kind of interact with the lineup stub. So give that a shot. Let me know if there's any follow-up. Happy to kind of troubleshoot further, but that's just a quick walkthrough on how to use that tool or function feature, maybe. All right. Chuck said, this is a follow-up to League of Legends showdown question. I'm glad you brought up the stack types because DK just recently allowed 3-1 stacks. Previously, they only allowed 2-2 stacks. I don't think SaberSim is accounting for this change. Also, after many iterations, I got my model to the point that it's learning from how the field plays. I was also able to run bankroll simulations to figure out how many lineups are profitable to enter. These improvements were all from the ideas that were discussed during this week's office hours. Thanks for bringing up those topics because I wasn't even considering that before, which was a huge blind spot in my model. Right on. Thank you for the note on the stack types. I will make a note here on this. So stack types, LOL showdown, check 3-1 versus 2-2. So I will check on that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention here. And I'm really glad that, you know, you've been able to learn, you know, from the discussions here. A lot of users are asking good questions, you know, every day. And, you know, we do this show so often that I think some of it just kind of gets lost. But I'm happy to hear that this show is serving its purpose. So that's great. Hope you continue to have success here. And make sure you're taking advantage of the winner circle to win free months of SaberSim and free prizes when you win. All right, next question. Ryan said, Andrew, once you start winning on Yahoo, do you think you should limit amount of entries you put in or max out the contest? They are smaller than FanDuel and DK, but see good players max the Yahoo contest. So I think it's okay to do both. It's going to depend on what your bankroll is and kind of where you want to play. You know, some of it is a little sport dependent, right? Like if I'm playing NBA, well, it is like really hard. I've done this. I've tried this, right? To do like four sites. Like, oh, I'm playing DraftKings, I'm playing FanDuel, I'm playing Yahoo, I'm playing Owner's Box, right? It is so hard to like manage all of that. So part of it is, well, what sport am I playing? You know, how much time do I have before each lock? You know, if it's football, hey, football's great. You know, I can probably do all four sites on football, you know, no problem. The second part is, part of it is like, okay, let's say I have $500. It's like, well, you know, I could max, you know, Yahoo and maybe just Yahoo, right? I could probably spend $500 on Yahoo, but like my win potential on Yahoo is probably lower, right? Like there's probably one or two contests that are like four to five figure wins. Or I could play some action there because I think the competition is softer and make sure I retain some bankroll to play on the other sites as well, where I have, you know, a little bit higher win potential. Some users, you know, just have grown such a big bankroll that like it is okay to max everything on Yahoo and it's not going to impact their action on other sites, right? That's the part like I think I'm trying to get across here is don't let Yahoo take up 80% of your bankroll unless you want it to, right? If you're like, hey, you know, no, I'm all in on Yahoo. I want to focus on beating these contests. Okay, then, you know, do 100% bankroll allocation to those contests. But if you also want to get action on the other sites, well, just kind of plan ahead, right? Look at those lobbies, figure out what your daily wager is. Like, okay, here I'm going to do 20%. And then maybe I'm going to do 40 on DK and like 40 on FanDuel, right? So now you're split up 40%, 40%, 20%, right? With like the 20 being Yahoo. So figure out, I think maybe that's kind of the best way is figure out a percentage allocation where, okay, these are the sites I'm playing on. This is how much percent I want per site. Then you can figure out how many entry fees you can afford within that percentage on said site. So I think that's probably going to be the right approach here. All right. Good stuff. Looking around, think we are all caught up with questions. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow. Technically last show of the year. So that'll be fun. It's always good doing these shows. I'm glad you guys are enjoying them and I appreciate you guys tuning in. So until tomorrow, everybody, good luck. Take care. Thanks.